I just turned the volume up on this thing so it's can record here. Okay, oh yeah, I heard you, you guys just got hooked on the Judas Priest tour. How'd that come about?
My manager has been trying to get us on some major tour for a long time. Somehow we got this tour, I don't know how. We're all excited about it.
So how long are you touring with them?
Just the last 3 weeks of the tour. Mm-hmm. I guess they had Cinderella out with them or something like that. Cinderella wasn't drawing or something. I can see why.
Yeah, well, in Philadelphia, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of, I don't know, it seems to be like a trend, though, with, like, Motorhead opening for, what, Alice Cooper and Megadeth opening for Dio.
Yeah.
Okay, one, like, South of Heaven, what made you decide to go for, like, a slower and heavier type route?
Just after playing Rain of Blood, touring and, you know, doing Rain of Blood, the album was, like, so fast. And it came to the point, like, you'd be listening to the album or playing the album and stuff, and you'd be going, like, the best part of that song is the slow part.
Huh.
So, like, well, why don't we write a couple slow songs?
Mm-hmm. I think it's more effective.
Yeah,
we love it, you know. Well, I was just kind of curious about the song Silent Scream. I'm sure you've heard about this a million times. But is that an anti-abortion song, or is it just a song about abortion? So that's, is that basically the way you write most of your lyrics?
Just yeah, kind of it's like you just, you know, write it, you know, figure out what it means to you.
Where do you come up with a lot of, like, the concepts behind your songs? What kind of stuff inspires them?
Well, let me see. I don't know. Like, Tom stuff, he's a pretty sick guy. He's, like, got a lot of shit that inspires him. But on my stuff, it was like, Cross. I'm like into history and into the whole Nazi era and stuff like that, so I read a lot of books about it, so I'll be like reading this chapter, and all of a sudden I'll just like write down some shit. That's how Crooked Cross came out, because I was reading about the killing squads and how they were going like crazy because they were just sick of killing people and killing babies, and they were like going crazy, you know, why are they doing this? They just started jotting down the shit, and that became the lyrics to Crooked Cross.
I guess a logical place to go from there. I was just kind of curious, though you probably heard this before too. An Angel of Death, is that kind of just talking about Joseph Mengele and not really presenting an opinion?
Yeah, just before I wrote that song, I had a couple books on when I was reading about the shit that went on. It's like some crazy shit. If you like even read the reading, those are some books again about Mengele. He's like fucking crazy, the shit that went on. So it's just like telling stories. It's just like, you know, explaining to what goes on.
Do you think some people might assume that as like glorifying him, or?
Oh, of course.
But that's not what you're trying to do.
It's even on the new album, you know, I saw Mandatory Suicide.
Uh-huh.
When we were hanging out, me and Tom were hanging out down at Geffen Records, they said they got a lot of calls from people calling up and saying, "What's the song Mandatory Suicide? Why are you telling kids to kill themselves?" Like, and our people at Geffen Records were even going like, "Why don't you read the lyrics? What's your problem?" Like, read the lyrics. It's an anti-war song. It's about war. It's like, instead of mandatory draft, it's called mandatory suicide. And they're like, oh, well, I didn't think about that. It's like, well, read the lyrics.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty obvious.
Yeah. All you gotta do is read. It's in there.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Where am I here? Where did you guys come up with your artist, Larry Carroll, who does, who's done the past two Slayer album covers?
This artist?
Yeah.
Rick Rubin found him for Rain and Blood. He saw some of his work, and he goes, this guy's really sick. I think you're going to like it. So I called him, he gave me his number, and I called the dude up for Rain and Blood because I had that idea for the album cover, and I just told him my basic idea. And then he sent me, like, a rough version of what the album cover is, and I was like, oh, my God, this is sick.
Yeah, that guy's
cool.
Yeah,
this is really cool. So we're going to keep him now.
Have you seen the new Accused album cover?
The who?
Accused album cover. Have you seen the new album cover for the Accused record?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, oh, you haven't seen that? Yeah, R.K. Sloan, you might want to look into him. That guy does some great stuff, real sick.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep with this guy, because, you know, obviously he did the new album cover, but he did
Yeah, I mean, I'm really into art, and I thought that stuff was just great.
Yeah, pretty well.
How do you feel about seeing warning labels on, like, your past two records and knowing that they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the PMRC?
Those labels?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Shit, they don't bother me at all. It's just like, it's like backfiring on them, because I think kids, like, maybe never heard of Slayer, and they go up and see those stickers. I mean, it would do it to me if I was a star and didn't hear this album, but it says this album contains offensive lyrics or whatever. I'd be, like, interested. Like, wow, I wonder what it says. So to me, that's what those stickers are. It's just like backfiring on them. Instead of warning kids to stay away from it, it's like making them, it's, you know what I mean? It's like drawing.
Have any stores decided not to carry a record because, you know, seeing the stickers on it and thinking, you know, we might have a problem with this, or?
We haven't had problems with the stickers. It's more like we've had a couple stores, like I think Carrie was in a local store down here, and the guy, the owner of the place pulled out the lyrics to the song and started reading them, and he took all the albums out of the store. I mean, Carrie actually saw this happen.
Which store is this? I'll list it in my zine and people can boycott them.
Shit, I don't remember what it is. This was like a couple of years ago. But I thought that was pretty funny. Just like read the list and, oh my god. Started grabbing all the albums.
Yeah, I did an interview with Jennifer Norwood from the PMRC a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And just because I got a hold of their phone number and I thought, you know, this would be hilarious. I have to go up and interview them. And I was asking her about, you know, what their intentions are, and she said now it's basically just they're trying to get bands to put the lyrics on the back of the album covers. So that's what they're going for now. But, you know, we were talking about the warning label issue, and she was saying basically they found out it was just too unreasonable to have to listen to every single song and come up with the different labels like V for Violent and all that crap. So they decided to just go for the generic thing, which the record companies came up with, explicit lyrics, parental advisory.
They wanted to rate them?
Well, that was like the whole thing they were trying to get with like the PTA. They wanted to have like V for Violence, O for Occult, and you know, a DA for drug and alcohol, you know, references. But they, you know, it was concluded that it's just ridiculous to try and spend all the fucking time and money to go and listen to all those records and come to conclusions about every one of them.
What if we get an N for Nazi, S for Satan?
Yeah, but they, you know, they now they're trying to get bands to put companies to encourage bands. It's all you know, optional, they say.
Yeah.
To print all the lyrics on the back of the album covers and all that stupid shit. Let's see. So, I was kind of curious because this happens to a lot of bands. Have record companies ever forced you guys to change any of your material, like any of your art or your lyrics?
Nope, not at all. The only thing that any problems we've had with record companies was that CBS deal with Rain of Blood, where they took a look at the lyrics and just dumped it. Didn't argue, didn't say anything, just said, we're not going to put this out, go someplace else.
Yeah, it's better than staying with them and going along with it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's even, like, Nuclear Assault, like, I did an interview with Dan Loker, and, you know, they, you know, obviously they're against censorship, but then they go and change their album cover, and I think that's really succumbing to it.
Yeah.
So are any of you guys politically active at all? Are you, like, who are you going to vote for in November, or if you're going to vote?
We're not really political.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, any other stuff I have to say here? I think a lot of this stuff kind of got answered. So what are your plans for now, I guess, just touring, or?
Yeah, we got like 3 weeks with Priest, and then after that we're going to do like the major cities in the U.S. again, and then we're going to be off for most of December, and then in January we're going back to Europe, do some German days from this.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing any festivals or anything, or?
I don't know, we're still working on it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Are you coming back to Philadelphia at all?
Probably, because we're going to do that U.S. thing again, right after Priest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was great that you guys played Pulsations, because, I mean, the last time we had a show, you know, like, last time we had, like, Anthrax and Exodus and that whole thing coming to the Tower Theater, and it's not, you know, it's not as cool because there's all the chairs on the floor and stuff, so. So it kind of really prevents a lot of the fun. I mean, because they had a problem at the Tower Theater. They were just kicking people out left and right for anything, because all the chairs were getting destroyed.
Yeah, we fought with the bouncers all across the U.S.
Yeah, Pulse Nations is, I guess, kind of lenient, but I heard that. Yeah, sorry, I heard that you guys bring that barricade all the time, or.
Oh, they put that close to
it. Oh, because they didn't do that. It shows there in the past, like they've had Anthrax play there, like the Cro-Mags, and.
Mm-hmm. Not all the shows, but most of the shows. Uh-huh. So we had problems, you know, because the bouncers, like all across the streets, would be like big kid bouncers that were just like having fun beating on kids.
Yeah.
We'd have to stop and say, hey, come on, man, fucking leave alone, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. Pulsations, I thought they were fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know, my friend got kicked out before you guys even went on stage, so. Celtic Frost, Exodus, and Anthrax played because they were just kicking people out left and right. I got kicked out in the middle of Celtic Frost. I think they kicked out about a good 150 people. It was just, I walked outside, I was like, couldn't believe it. And then I see all these other people standing around.
Yeah. A lot of times it's like a big scam, like the promoters of the show will say, tell the bouncers, you know, behind their back to kick kids out so they can let more kids in. You know what I mean? Because kids still trying to get in, they can't let them in because of the capacity of the building.
Yeah, a friend of mine was telling me you guys had some problem with like a riot at the Palladium in LA.
The promoter or whoever, the club owner or whatever, oversold the show. They had like, the capacity was like 4,200 or something, 4,245. And there were still kids, like 300 kids outside with tickets. And they wouldn't let them in because they said that was it. I mean, there's too many people in the building, you can't let anybody in. And then they go, what do you mean? I got a ticket right here.
Yeah, but people are going to like buy tickets and not go. Jesus, yeah, I heard it's like pretty fucked up in, well, I know it's pretty fucked up in LA, but, yeah, no, thankfully we don't have too many problems here, but, let's see, I don't know, I honestly don't have any other questions written down, a lot of them got answered, things led to another, but, I guess do you have anything else you want to say at all, or? not too much. Well, thanks a hell of a lot for doing this. I really appreciate it. I guess, you know, if I send you my zine, I don't know if you'll see it, but do you get stuff that gets sent to your,
You talk to Victoria, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you send it to her, we'll all get it.
Okay, I'll send it to her. It's called Primary Concern. Do you know that, or? Okay, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I mostly cover hardcore stuff, and, you know, like, my next issue will have, like, I don't know, a lot of small hardcore bands, but I have some metal bands in there also,
cool.
And it's got lots of, like, political stuff, too, so.
Yeah, cool, if you send it to her, we'll get it, send it to Jeff, yeah, we'll get a lot, definitely send it to her.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
All right, bye.